Now we've got a couple of bloggers who are staking out their turf in South Carolina. Danielle Holly Walker blogs at scblackpress.com. She's also an assistant professor of law at the University of South Carolina. And Arlene Fenton is from blackwomenvote.com. She came to South Carolina to capture the action. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. Welcome to South Carolina.
Oh, I'm delighted. So, Danielle, your blog is pretty new. Tell me why SC Black Press was started.
Well, looking around the blogosphere, there are almost no blogs that are devoted to African Americans and African American politics, especially here in the South. So there are a lot of us, especially those of us who are supporters of Senator Obama, who said, okay, this is a great time to start a blog, and a lot of people are newly engaged in the political process. So we saw his campaign as kind of a transformative political movement and one that could really up engagement in the political process in general among African Americans. So we hope to keep it going after the primary and after the presidential election, because we think that this is a kind of fundamental time and shift in political participation by African Americans here in the South.
So what are some of the issues that you think are the most important ones?
Well, you know, we blog a lot about kind of the politics of the day. So our blog was completely, you know, inundated with posts and also comments about Senator Clinton's comments about Martin Luther King and Lyndon Johnson for about a week. And we also did a whole segment on talking about myths related to Obama's candidacy for the president. So kind of a truth squad idea with talking about, is he electable, other rumors and myths about his candidacy, taking down myths from the emails that were going around about Senator Obama. So we did that. And also, we actually talk about issues. So we compared the health care plans of all three candidates and also talked a lot about education policy, kind of the issues that our readers are most concerned with.
Well, you know, this is something very interesting. Arlene, you actually came down to the state. This is not your state, but you decided to come down. Tell me why you came and specifically what blackwomenvote.com is.
I came because of all of the media attention on black women. My blog is, as you mentioned, entitled Black Women Vote. And it actually came out from another blog called What About Our Daughters? It's a very popular blog and kind of a watering hole in the blogosphere for black women and our supporters. In December, I wrote a post, which was an open letter to Barack Obama, in which I challenged him to address the specific issues of black women instead of hoping that we would vote for him out of a sense of racial loyalty and pride. The response to that was just record-breaking for our blog, and that's when we realized that we needed to have a unique space that talked about political issues for black women.
Now, what's your agenda for this trip? What are you going to do in terms of, are you going out and talking to people? Are you going to rallies? What's your specific agenda?
Actually, both. I've been meeting with various organizations. Essentially, the blog is not intended to promote any particular candidate, but to raise the level of political maturity for black women. I wrote a post called Stop Looking for a Messiah When an Army is What You Really Need. And essentially, black women need to create a strategic plan which would work regardless of who is president. And with that, we decided we're going to start meeting with different organizations, sororities, et cetera, for black women, and to start to work on what would happen after the presidency, no matter who's elected.
Now, let me go back to you, Danielle. Let's put it this way, a lot of debate, including right here on our show, about black women voters. Do they go for the black man or the white woman? There is a third of the population for the Democratic vote that will be expected to be African-American women. But there's also another flavor. The third contender leading the Democratic pack is John Edwards, who is a white male. And as he has pointed out, tongue-in-cheek, and his wife has pointed out, that may not be the most popular flavor right now. But is there any love for John Edwards here in South Carolina?
There's a lot of love for John Edwards in South Carolina because he talks about the issues of poverty and ending poverty, which, of course, to many black voters and black women voters is a is really hitting at their heartstrings. I mean, we believe that he's a person truly committed to that cause. So I think there is a lot of love for him. I think the question for Edwards here is just that if the race has really come down to nationally Clinton and Obama, I think people are kind of hesitant to say, I have a lot of love for him. I think I heard that a lot after the debate. But will I actually vote for him knowing that the nominee is likely going to be either Clinton or Obama and wanting to make a difference in that choice? So,
now, what about economic issues? What do you think, living here in the state, are some of the economic issues or social issues that Black women are thinking about?
I think one of the key, and I think it's both an economic and social issue, is the issue of education. And a lot of talk about the corridor of shame on I-95 and just the idea that South Carolina and schools in South Carolina, especially schools that are devoted to educating poor Black children, are lagging so far behind, and really looking for a presidential candidate who is really out in front on the issue of education, because obviously education is a huge building block for all economic health issues in the state. So I think that is a lot of what I've heard from a lot of people, and what there's been a lot of response to on our blog is discussion about education as really a building block to economic security.
Arlene, your site, blackwomenvote.com, has seen a spike in traffic. I mean, it is the election year, and it sounds like you're really out there on the road trying to get the message out. When you think about the issues that are affecting women nationally, Black women nationally, what things come to your mind?
The first one is the AIDS crisis. It's the number one killer of young Black women. The second issue is essentially homicide, although we really don't get that kind of attention. When people think about Black-on-Black crime, they usually think of young Black men who are dying, and they are. But it is also the second leading killer of Black girls between the ages of 15 and 24. So I think those two issues have been sorely neglected in this process, and that's something that we've been exploring on our site.
For both of you, I'm sure you're well aware that there are so many people who don't vote, that there could be twice as many voters in the presidential elections as there are. And what do you draw from that, Arlene, first, in terms of, do you see the candidates reaching out to try to get some of not only the swing voters, but the non-voters?
I think Barack has, to a certain extent, and I think he's actually succeeded. I think one of the big problems is they're not addressing the right issues for those groups. They don't vote because they don't hear anyone talking about their problems. A lot of these people, they don't watch the Dow Jones. You know, I mean, they want to know, how am I going to pay for my education? I'm struggling with my student loans. They're not really hearing those things being talked about. And I also think that most of these voters, even the young ones, are more savvy than these politicians are giving them credit for. They aren't going to vote for someone just because they're Black or just because they're a woman. And also, I'm seeing a growth of people who are saying, maybe it's a mistake for us to only be looking at Democratic politicians. So I think at this point, it's time to look at that group with new eyes and be a little more specific about what their issues are.
Danielle, what about, I mean, because everywhere, period, there are people who don't vote, but it's really linked to socioeconomics and education. Those are the two top things. If you're poor, you're less likely to vote. If you're not educated, you're less likely to vote. Is anyone building bridges?
Absolutely. I think that one of the most exciting things about the Democratic primary on Saturday is to see if the candidates were really effective in getting new voters out to vote. I think that the turnout in New Hampshire and also in Iowa showed that people are really energized by this process. I agree with Arlene that I think that Obama's camp has been doing a lot to get people involved, including having huge voter registration drives on student campuses. So, you know, we have a lot of HBCUs here in the state, South Carolina State, Claflin, Benedict Allen. And I think on those campuses, there was a lot of voter disengagement. And they went specifically to the people and said, okay, here's why you need to register for vote. And I think Arlene's also right that, you know, it's not just about voter registration drives, but also about hitting issues that people who don't traditionally vote are concerned with. So creating jobs, student loans, predatory lending, those are the kind of issues that engage non-voters, traditional non-voters.
Do either of you have any concerns about things like the voter ID laws or any issues with the polling places? Do you think I'm going to go to you first, Danielle. Do you have any concerns about perhaps how many polling places there are, whether or not they can handle capacity?
Yeah, I think there's a big concern about that. This is the first year in South Carolina where the elections are not being run by the Democratic Party. They're being run by the Election Commission. And we saw that resources are split up because the Republicans already had their primary last Saturday. We're having Democratic primary this Saturday. So there's a lot of concern that there won't be enough polling stations and also polling machines, voting machines to meet the demand. But I do think there's being a lot done. So I know that Obama and both Clinton have voter protection efforts that are out there trying to answer questions about ID. And Congress passed the Help America Vote Act, and that also has created a lot of confusion and issues about voter ID. So people just should know what's required. Go and look before you go out to vote at what's required to actually cast your vote. And there will be people on site to really help resolve a lot of these issues.
Arlene, whether you want to take it local or national, what about these questions of access?
On a national level, I have extreme concerns about electronic voting. I'm a systems engineer by trade. I know how many things can go wrong, and I've actually taken a look at the code from some of the states, and it's horrific. It's full of mistakes, and it's very easy to crack. So I don't see the fail safes that are being put into those systems. Something physical that can prove vote by vote what that person voted for. So that would be my number one concern.
Now, when people say their vote doesn't count, and I'm going to back into this. What do you say? Now, a little background. We talked to students at Benedict College, and one young man told us he wasn't planning to vote because in his mind his vote didn't matter. Arlene, how do you motivate people who specifically have said, you know what, it's not that I'm not even voting because people aren't reaching out to me. I specifically think this does not work.
I think what I would do is point at the legislation that other people have gotten. It's really, you know, a problem of them not being educated as to how the system works and what is happening against them. A lot of them don't really feel a sense of urgency because they don't know what the stakes are right now with Brown versus Board of Education coming into play. A lot of those students aren't really aware of what the problem is with that. So essentially, I think the answer is educating them more on the political process.
Now, Danielle, what about race? We have been talking about a lot of substantive issues, but there was so much fighting between the Obama and Clinton camps. Has that quieted down? Are people really talking about the issues now?
I think people are talking about the issues, but I do think that there is a chance that that this could really have long-lasting effects on the Democratic Party, and I think we're seeing that start to happen. I think that the back and forth between not just Obama and Clinton, but their supporters and their surrogates, people like Bob Johnson and people like that, I think that that could really have a lasting effect on the Democratic Party. And also, honestly, I think the media is really hyping up this issue of race and the racial divide that could potentially happen in the primary. And I think also with the issue of Latinos and all of this reporting suggesting from the mainstream media that there's no way that Obama can capture Latino voters, all of that is kind of adding to the hype of this big racial divide in the primary season. And I think that it could be really damaging for the Democratic Party if there isn't some way to really dial back, because I think people are thinking about the issues. The media is reporting it as a racial story. All of the black voters and white voters that I'm talking to here in South Carolina are talking a lot more about the issues than they are about the racial aspects, potential racial aspects of the primary.
Well, Arlene and Danielle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Arlene Fenton of the blog BlackWomenVote.com and Danielle Holly Walker, who blogs at scblackpress.com.